reality for some of us in this room. And so if that's you, number one, I would still encourage you to try. Who knows? Like, God might change that. At the same time, there's a lot of adult leaders who come to our youth group, and we don't come to replace your parents in any way. We can't. It wouldn't be good. Some of the youth leaders are great youth leaders. They'd be horrible parents of you right now. But they still would love to continue the conversation with you if you can't with your parents. And so that's my disclaimer. And here's the reason why. Here's why I want you to talk to your parents. Because Your parents need to think about this stuff too. But that's just the reality. I'm not quite as old as most of your parents, but I'm getting there, and I'm a parent myself. And I just know what we're going to talk about, this is so big and so huge that, like, we need to think about this too. And so help us, help your parents by inviting them into this conversation. And so I'm just going to ask for God's help in this, and I'm just going to pray and kind of set the tone for us tonight, and then we're going to jump in to this new series. Why don't you pray with me? Jesus, it is so good to be here in this room full of students and the life in this place to sing to you. We sing because we love you, because you are good and real and have done things in our lives. And so, God, we thank you for the chance to remember that again tonight and to tell you that we love you. God, captivate us. And I pray for anybody in this room that is coming, checking you out, wondering if you are real. I pray that tonight as we talk, that you would show yourself to be real as you are. God, that you would also expose things in our lives that are not good, that we need to see, and lead us towards life and towards freedom as you love to. Thank you that as we sing about your mercy, that we can remember that it's a tender mercy, that you are not harsh with us, but you are very tender with us. And so do that with us again tonight as we talk about this subject. And give us the courage and the wisdom and the boldness, the freedom to do with this tonight what would be best for our lives. And so, God, we ask these things and we invite these things from you to help us and to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you've been around here for a while, you maybe heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it anyways. When I was in fifth grade, my mom made me try out for Little League. And I don't know if your parents have ever done that for you, like made you do something that you didn't really want to do or something like that. I know parents do that often. I don't know how you felt about that, what that was like. But the weird thing for me, or the funny thing, is I actually wanted to play Little League Baseball. The thing that I didn't want to do was to try out for Little League Baseball. Like, that to me was terrifying. And so, and it's funny when I look back on it now. I mean, now as an adult, I look back in Little League, you know, when you try out, like, nobody gets cut from the team, right? I know in high school or something like that, you try out for the team, there's only so many people, and so some make it and some get cut. Like, in Little League, tryouts are not like that at all. It's all about figuring out who's, you know, kind of the best and who's maybe learning, and so they can, you know, spread out the talent a little bit. And so it wasn't about making the team or not. And so in many ways, there should have been no reason to be afraid. But I just got to be honest with you, as the day got closer to tryouts, I just began to get more and more scared about this. I mean, there was just a lot of risk for me in this. First of all, I'd never played organized baseball. I had played, like, in my backyard with wiffle balls, and I'd thrown, you know, ball with my dad, and in PE, we played softball, I think, and things like this, but I never, like, been on a baseball team, and I wanted to do that, and I wanted to be good. That was the thing. Like I wanted to play, but I never really knew what it was going to be like for me playing on a team and performing in that way, and I wanted to perform well. And so there was this risk of maybe I won't, because I'd never been tested in that. And the other thing was, is I just knew how this was going to go. Like, Estacada was kind of a smaller town, and so when you go to Little League tryouts, you know everybody that shows up. Like, you go to school with all of them, and I just knew how it was. Tryouts were on Saturday, and I just knew however we did, whatever team we got put on, whatever label we got put on us, that was going to be talked about Monday at school. And I didn't know how this was going to go. And so when it came to Friday night and just the reality that I was going to wake up the next day and try out for Little League, I was terrified. Terrified to the place that I had decided that the best decision for me was to not do it. And this shocked my parents. So Friday night, they start talking about business the next day. You know how that goes, like what time we're going to be, certain places. And so they're like, yeah, Matthias, you have tryouts tomorrow for Little League. And I said, I'm not going. And they were surprised. They were shocked. And I remember like my mom saying, what do you mean? Like we've been talking about this for weeks and you want to play baseball and you love baseball. What do you mean you're not going to try out? And see, when parents ask you that, I don't know if you're like me, but when they ask me, I didn't tell them why. I didn't just come out and say like, well, I don't want to try out because that actually feels like the safest thing for me. I didn't say that. I didn't think to myself that, you know what, like I could make up a reason with my parents of why I didn't want to try out. Like, oh, well, none of my friends are doing it anymore and baseball is stupid. I could make up that. And then I could go to school on Monday and they'd be like, how come you weren't at tryouts? And I knew I could lie there. I knew I could just show up and say, well, my mom, she changed her mind and she doesn't, you know, want me to do it. And I could play the victim. And I knew that I could play that game. And so, but I didn't just come out and say to my parents, like, this is the safest bet for me because I'm afraid. I just lied. Well, I don't want to anymore, or my friends don't want to do it. And so Friday night, the discussion wasn't over, and I remember going to bed, and I don't know if you've had those nights where you just can't sleep, right? Because you're nervous about something the next day. I mean, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if my parents were going to make me or what. I just knew that it was terrifying what I was going to do in the next day. And so I remember kind of tossing and turning and just imagining all the scenarios. I could picture myself out there and the ball gets hit to me. And I just go down and it, like, you know, bounces wrong and hits me in the face or something. And you know, or I swing and miss and all my friends are watching. And I just could imagine all of these scenarios. And so I couldn't sleep. I remember when I woke up, I wasn't hungry at all. Have you ever felt that? Like stress and nerves. And so breakfast is in front of me. I'm not hungry. And so that's when the conversation came up again. Like, are we doing tryouts today? And I remember saying, you know, well, no. I don't want to go. And that's when my mom said it. I don't know if your parents have ever done this before, but that's when she said it. She said, I don't care what you want. You're going, right? And I'm a fifth grade dude. Like, I'm not like five, right? But when she said that, like, tears came down. Seriously, like we do this. We don't tell our friends about this. We know what this is like, though. Like, we cry. We throw tantrums, even as high school students. Like, we do that. When stress comes down, like, it just opened up, and I just started crying. And I don't really remember what happened from that to the place that we got in the car, but we ended up in the car, and we ended up going. And I had to walk onto that field holding back tears. I had to try out for baseball. And here's why I tell you that story tonight. I tell you that story because that was, I think, the first time I learned something about myself and about life. I mean, I might have learned it other times, but that's the first time that I can remember just this realization that fear has the potential to rule your life. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about, like, things rule your life? You have something that is an authority over your life, something that you look to that sets the tone, that helps you make every decision, how you act, what you say. You have something that rules all of your decisions, and the thing that I learned that day is it's really easy for fear to be that. I mean, with all the options, friends, a girl, God, your parents, what feels right to you. For many of us, I think it's this. I think it's just easy to allow fear to rule your life. And that's what I learned as I'm walking out on that field trying to hold back tears. Now here's what I know tonight. A lot of times when I stand in front of you guys, I guess. I guess what's on your mind. I guess what you're dealing with. I guess what you're going through. But tonight, I know for sure one thing, that all of you have to face fear. Like this is just the reality of life that we live, that fear is a reality for every person. We have to walk through it. We have to face it. It comes into our lives often. And so as you read the Bible, you read even like the toughest dudes in the Bible. So you come across David, and he's a great king, and he's a great warrior. And this is what he writes in Psalm 56. He says, "When I'm afraid," right? And I read that, and I want you to circle the word "when." Because what David doesn't say is, "If I'm ever afraid," or something happens, and I don't know if, like, the weird chance that I come across something that makes me afraid, it might happen, it happens for some people. He doesn't say that. He says, "When I am afraid." In other words, he recognized tough warrior king dude David, he's got to face fear. It's in his life. And the reality is, you and I, we're there too. I mean, I just think about my life. I think about last December. Do you guys remember when there was that shooting at Clackamas Town Center? I remember going out in public the first time after that. Remember what that was like? Like the next time you went shopping? Or if you went to Clackamas Town Center, I remember going there like a couple weeks after that happened. It was weird. I didn't expect it. But as soon as I like walked into the doors, all of a sudden just kind of this fear crept over me. Like, oh man, I can't believe like something really horrible happened here. And so this is the reality of our culture, that there's all kinds of things for us to be afraid of. Like, we can be afraid of things like tragic things like that, terrorism, or things that could happen, or suffering, or sickness, or injury. And we know there's a reality, and we see that in people around us, and some of us have even faced that. And so we're afraid of that. We're afraid of what people could do to us, how they would react, what they would say, what they wouldn't say, how they would reject us. Like, we do this to others, and we experience this ourselves, and so it makes us afraid. We're afraid about our performance sometimes. Like, am I going to be good enough? Am I going to do everything right? Am I going to pass school? Like, we're afraid of these kinds of things, and we're just afraid of, like, losing something important to us. We're afraid of growing up. Like, will I pick the right thing to do? Will I make it in life? Am I going to live at my parents' house forever? I don't know. Like, we're afraid of these things. And so the reality is that fear is something that we all have to deal with. And in this series over the next few weeks, what we're going to talk about is where that comes from. And what it does to our lives, and more importantly, does Jesus, does what he has accomplished on the cross and the reality of who he is, does that do anything for us with fear? And see, the title of this series is Live Fearlessly, and what we're going to find is that God and what he has accomplished for us is he is inviting us out of a life of fear into a life of freedom. And this is what we're trying to understand over the next few weeks. So here's what I've been doing. What I've been doing is I've been reading big chunks of the Bible. And I've been just looking at fear. Like, where do we see it in the Bible? What can we learn about it? And just reading as much as I can. And here's what I find about fear in the Bible is that God talks about it a lot. And God has some helpful things for us to recognize about fear. See, when I start to read scripture, the first thing that I realize about fear is that fear is a result of sin, or fear enters into this world when sin enters into this world. So here's what we do if you're ever kind of new to the Bible and you're kind of curious. And so this is a big book. And most books, when you pick them up, where do you start? The beginning, right? Like, this is wise, this is good. And so even with the Bible, it's great to start in the beginning, because these are some of the most helpful chapters in all of the Bible to understand our world that we live in. And so we open up to Genesis chapter 1, and right away we begin to read about how God created the world. That God made it. So he made everything. He made the sun and the moon and day and night and the sea and the land and plants and animals and birds and fish and all of these things. And then it comes to humanity and it says something unique about you and I. It says that God created us, and what was unique about us is that God made us in His image. This is important, that God designed us to experience the perfect relationship that He experiences within Himself. That God has made us to love God, and God has made us to love people. This is what it means to be in His image. And as we read on in Genesis chapter 2, we see this played out in some really cool ways. We see Adam, and God places him in a garden, and God has this great, free, open relationship with Adam. There's no shame, there's no nervousness. Adam's not frustrated with God. Adam doesn't think that God's, you know, mean or far off or anything like that. They talk to one another. They have this relationship, and God also creates Eve and puts her in the garden with Adam, and we get this great picture. It says about Adam and Eve that they were naked and had no shame. And so a lot of us, we read that, and we think, oh, that's talking about sex. And it's talking about even more than that. Because here's the reality, is that they were in a situation, God's design is that we would live openly, freely, without pain, without fear, without insecurity, and this is what we see in the beginning. Like, fear isn't mentioned at all. There's not a hint of it. But then we start to read on, and we get to Genesis chapter 3, and Adam and Eve are in the garden, and she comes across the serpent, right? And the serpent asks her a question. Maybe you've read this story before. The serpent says, of all the things in the garden, did God say you could eat of everything? And Eve says, well, you know, God said we could eat of everything except this one tree, and we're not supposed to go near it. And then the serpent does something very, very sneaky. He presses her. He says, well, you know, did God really say that? And if you eat that, would you really die? I don't think so. And begins to imply that God is withholding something from Adam and Eve. And you know how the conversation goes, that Eve decides to take the fruit that God said not to, and if she did, she would die, and so she eats it, right? And Adam, who's standing right there next to her, and I think Adam's just waiting for her, like lightning to come down or something, and, you know, waiting for something to happen, and as soon as she eats it, nothing really happens, and it says that Adam ate the fruit too, and immediately our world changed. God designed it without pain, without insecurity, without worry, without fear. And as soon as humanity sins, all these things come. And in verse 8 in chapter 3, it says this: they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. On your notes, I want you to circle that word afraid. Because this is where it shows up in the Bible. It shows up immediately after sin. That the effect of sin is fear. And God doesn't show up, and He doesn't show up with a big bolt of lightning, or He's not mad, ready to get out and beat them and punish them for what He's done. God shows up looking for them, seeking them out, and yet they are afraid. And as we read the rest of Scripture, and as we just look at our lives, we experience the effect of this all the time in our lives. That sin entered the picture and it broke God's design. And the reality is we have to learn to live with fear. And see, fear can be devastating for us. See, the other thing we learn about fear is that fear can often lead us into sin. I mean, that's just what we learn as we keep reading the Bible. And so you start to read on in Genesis and you come across a guy named Abraham, right? And Abraham was a guy that God said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to make your descendants into my people, this great nation that I'm going to do amazing things through. And so it says that Abraham believed God and began to follow him. And what you find is Abraham finds himself going into Egypt, right? And when he goes into Egypt, this foreign country, Abraham realizes something about his wife, right? He realizes that his wife is beautiful. He probably already knew it beforehand, but it says that he knew that she was beautiful, and this made him nervous because he was going into Egypt, and in his mind, the Egyptians were going to see how hot his wife was, and they were going to do something to him. They were going to, like, I want that woman, so let's kill that dude so we can have that woman. And so what Abraham does in his fear, do you remember? Oh, he's a great husband. He lies. To protect himself, he sticks up for his woman. No, to protect himself, he lies and says to everybody that she's his sister. To protect himself. In fear, he enters into dishonesty. And we could think that's bad, but Sarah does this a little bit later. God shows up and God comes to Abraham just a couple chapters later and he says, Abraham, again, I'm going to take your descendants and I'm going to make them great. And the only problem was Abraham was old and he didn't have a son. And so God comes to him and he says, about this time next year when I come, you are going to have a son. You are going to have a son from your wife's own body. And when she hears this, it says she laughed, right? She laughed because Abraham was 99 and she was 90, right? You would probably laugh too. Like, this is ridiculous that a year later, a 91-year-old lady is going to have a baby. And she laughs, and so it says that God asked Abraham, why does she laugh? Is not anything impossible for God? And it's interesting what Sarah does. It says, Sarah, when she heard God ask this, it said, Sarah was afraid, so she did what? She lied, right? She said, I didn't laugh. And God said, oh, no, yeah, you did. And see, here's the thing when I read that. I read that and I think to myself, isn't that what we do all the time? Like, that's what I do with my parents when I was your age. When I was afraid, I didn't come out and say it. I lied. I made something up to cover it up. And I do this with my friends when I was your age. I'm afraid, and so I make something up. Again, it's my mom's fault. That's why. Or I'm not feeling good today. Or this is broken. Or something else has come up. And so we lie to cover that up. We either lie or we just hurt people. Like, have you ever done that? When you're afraid and you're with some friends or whatever and you decide to do something to protect yourself that ends up hurting others. I mean, when I was in high school, there was a kid in my school named Andy, and Andy was also from my church youth group, and Andy had something called Down syndrome. You guys know what that is? And so at school, often people didn't know how to relate to him, and so he was kind of awkward because of his condition. And I grew up with Andy, and I loved Andy, and I'd been in church with him for a long time. I was really comfortable with him. But what happened all the time at school is I'd be walking down the hall, and I would see Andy. And all of a sudden, I'd have to make a big decision. I mean, I'd be looking at Andy, and Andy was always waving at me. He always saw me. And my friends, they actually made fun of him. And so I had to make a decision. If I was going to love Andy and stick up for him and risk what my friends would say and react to, or if I was going to kind of pretend like I didn't know him and kind of go with my friends. And I did that often. And every time I did it, I knew I hurt him. Right? But we do that. Because we're afraid, we try to fix the thing that ourselves, and what we often come up with is just something that's sin. Dishonesty, hurting others, things that are not God's hope and design for our lives. This is why fear is devastating. And it's not just that it leads us into sin. I think the biggest thing about fear is fear holds us back. That fear has the potential to keep us from what God has made us to live in. See, this is what I see when I read the Bible. See, when I read the Bible, what I see is that God is doing something great in this world. That God sees what sin has done to us and the reality of what we live in, and God feels compassion. Like, God loves people. He loves people so much that He pursues a relationship with us, so much that He would go to the cross, that He would suffer and die and serve us so that we could be forgiven and have a relationship with Him and experience His mercy. And God, He's restoring things that are broken in this world. And what I see as I read the Bible is that God, often how He works is He involves people. He involves people who have made a decision to follow Him. And He says, come and join me in what I'm doing. Come help my cause. Think about that. That God chooses to involve us in that. And so He looks at Moses and He says, I want to deliver my people from slavery. So Moses, you're going to be my guy. Or I want to teach my people. And so Jeremiah, you're going to be a prophet. Or I want to lead my people. So David, you're going to stop being a shepherd and you're going to be a king who loves me. Or Mary and Joseph, I'm going to come as a baby. And so Mary, you're going to be the mom. Right? God uses people and He invites them to be a part of what He's doing. Do you know what I also notice in all of those stories? It's just about every time God is inviting somebody to work with Him, He always has to tell them to not be afraid. Isn't that interesting? That He would come to Moses and He would say, Moses, I'm going to use you to free my people from slavery. And God has to have a long conversation with Moses because Moses is afraid. Or Joshua, I'm going to use you to lead my people into the promised land. But Joshua, don't be afraid. Or Mary, like you're going to get pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid. And Joseph, like the girl that you're engaged to is going to be pregnant, not by you. Don't be afraid. Jeremiah, you're going to tell people about me, and I know you're young, but don't be afraid. And what I see over and over is that God recognizes that for us to follow Him, often what He's asking us to do, the hurdle that we have to get through is fear. Like, God asks us to do things that are scary. And so just think about this for a moment. Think about how many things in your life you have thought of that you could do for God. And when the thought came into your mind, it freaked you out. Like, sometimes we just shrug that off, that, oh man, I would talk with that person. I'd invite him to youth group, and we're like, no way. I'm not going to think about that. That would be freaky. Or I'm gonna just help that person out. No, oh man, I don't know. And so many times God is asking us to do things, and yet fear is something we have to get over. And all the things, as I look over my life, the things that I do for God, like speaking in front of people, when I was your age, like I would stand in front of a crowd and my hands would shake. I was so nervous. And yet God says, this is what I want you to do. Having kids, being a dad, all of these things, like, I have to deal with fear. And what that means is that fear, if we give into it, if we let it rule our lives, it can hold us back from what God has made you to do. And so I just want to ask you, does fear do that with you? Like, is it keeping you from something that God is inviting you to be a part of? Ministry. Our youth group, camp, following Him. It has the potential to hold us back. But here's the good thing, and here's the news that we're going to begin to talk about next week. Is that while fear can lead us into sin, and fear has the potential to hold us back, what Jesus has done is bigger than our fear. And see, what God is doing is God is not inviting us to just pretend that fear's not real and it doesn't exist and just be tough enough to get through things. God is inviting us into a relationship with Him where we can be close to Him, and in knowing and enjoying Him, we don't have to be afraid. You remember warrior dude King David who said, when I'm afraid? You know what he goes on to say? He goes on to say, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. And who's the you? It says, in God who I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be what? Afraid. See, what David learned is that fear is a reality in life, and it has a huge effect on our lives, but he knew a God that helped him through that. And see, the invitation for all of us is to know God and experience him in that same way. And so tonight, I just want to ask you, like, what are you afraid of? What is it that you face that just terrifies you? And maybe the more important question is, how does fear affect your life? Does it lead you to sin? Does it hold you back? How does it affect your life? And maybe the third question is, what would it look like for you to seek out God's invitation out of fear? And when I say that, I just mean over the next few weeks. Like, what would it look like for you to long to be free from fear so much that you would read your Bible, that you would come, that you would listen, that you would talk with people about it, that you would even wrestle with these things with your parents about this so that you could learn, that you could experience and accept God's invitation to be free. See, here's the thing. I said my mom made me try out for baseball, and that's partly true. Like, she said that I had to go, but you know what? As a fifth grader, I could have taken off, I could have ran, I could have thrown something big enough to stop that. In the end, I decided to try out in all my tears and all my fears. Do you know why? When I look back on that, I decided to try out because the idea of playing baseball was bigger than my fear. I just wanted that so bad. And I was so glad that I did it. And see, here's the thing. The idea of knowing a God and being a part of what he is doing in this world has to be bigger than our fears. That's the only way you're going to get there. So what are you afraid of? How does it affect your life? And are you willing to reach out and give some effort to discover the freedom that God is inviting you into? We're going to finish up tonight. I want to give you a few minutes to write about these things. I like to have you write about them because I think it helps us just solidify stuff in your mind. And so your mentors around you and your leaders, they all have an index card, so they're just going to give you one. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes to write your thoughts. You don't need to put your name on it. You're not going to turn this in to me tonight. I just want you to write what God is challenging you to think about tonight. And then I'll close this up in a few minutes. so a lot of times when I have you guys write on Wednesday night, I love to collect these cards because I love to learn and hear what God's kind of speaking to you about. But tonight I want to ask you to do something else with these cards. What I want to ask you to do is something that's crazy. I want to ask you to take these cards and go home and sometime over the next few days that you would give it to one of your parents and you would ask them to do two things. You would ask them to listen to this message tonight and then ask them if it would be okay to talk about the things that you wrote about. Now here's why. In fact, this is what I want you to do on your card. I want you to write this website on here, gateway.org/numbers/students/messages, because by the end of the evening, if not tomorrow morning, tonight's message will be up on the website. And I want to invite parents to listen in, and I want to invite you to have a conversation with your parents about this, and here's why. The first reason is your parents deal with fear too. And so we can serve them by saying, hey, here's some things that God says about fear. And so this is good for them. But the other reason is because your parents serve you day in and day out with fear. Like, that's what I learned about my parents. And, you know, looking back, I lied to my parents so much just to be safe, just because I was afraid. And I look back on that and I watch you guys, and wouldn't it be amazing if we could just be honest? If we could at least have one place where we could walk in and say, this is it, this is me, this is all, I know my fears feel stupid and silly, but this is a reality, this is how I feel about life. And to see that even with parents that aren't perfect, the thing about your parents is they do care about you, and they want to help you through these things and serve you. So why not invite them into this? And so here's the thing. You bring them the card, you tell them to listen to the message, and they may talk to you a little bit about this. And here's the thing. Next Wednesday night, you get to do a report card for your parents of how well they do on this homework assignment. Not you, but your parents. Like, if you ask them to listen to the message, did they do it? Or if you ask them to talk to you a little bit about it, did they do it? Because we need to go there in our lives. And more importantly, like, we need to take these things before God. And so let me pray for us. You guys have done a great job tonight. God, we need you. God, it is so arrogant to say that you don't exist. To say that you're not real, to say that we can figure out life ourselves. God, forgive us of that. We're terrified. I still am, God. I pray for all my friends in this room that you would give them freedom, that they would be able to say what David said, that when they're afraid, they trusted you, and because of you, they're not afraid. God, give us freedom. And do a miracle in our homes that we could talk about these things with our parents and help our parents to be good listeners, to serve us, support us. I pray that that would happen this week. And God, continue to give us hope next week as we come back and learn more. And God, for anybody in this room who doesn't know you, I just pray that tonight you would invite them close to you, that they would say yes to you, that they would invite you into their lives and experience your freedom and forgiveness and hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you guys have been awesome tonight. Thanks for paying attention. Thanks for being here. Thanks for having life. You guys are dismissed.
Father, you always amaze me. Let your kingdom come in my world and in my life. Give me the food I need to live through the day. And forgive me as I forgive the people that wrong me. Lead me far from temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. I'll look out the window, the birds are composing. Not a note is out of tune or out of place. Stare at the flowers, better dressed than any girl on her wedding day. So why should I worry? Why do I freak out? God knows what I